All right, look, I'm going to talk about something this morning. I'm going to talk about y'all. Is that okay with y'all? All right. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5 primarily. You want to get over there and meet me there. Somewhere around 2008, I believe. I might be wrong about the year. An article was written in the Hendersonville newspaper. And in that article, it talked about things like this here. Well, it didn't talk about the people of Oak Grove being meeting since 1909, right? This church, this congregation, since 1909 is when they started gathering together. But they wrote, this article was written in 2008, and it said things like, in 1920, this congregation organized, meaning they decided to become an actual church in 1920, and bought land within days and built a house of worship with timber cut from a neighbor's woods. Windows taken from a house that was coming down, lamps bought from in Skyland, and a bell given by Asheville Fire Department, and a great deal of volunteer labor. It's back in 1920 at the old church down the road in Avery's Creek. He said, they called the first building the Light on the Hill. Some of y'all might still know about that, the Light on the Hill. They did not wait until they had everything they wanted. They used what God had already placed in their hands, and they built. All right, that's the Oak Grove Church in the beginning summary. Well, around about 2002 or 3, 93 years later, if my math is correct, about the time this article was written, the congregation at Oak Grove did it again. They got too big for the building over there, and they didn't have enough parking and barely had bathrooms and whatnot. And they decided we better get closer to the community. And they moved over here, bought this property, and built the very building that y'all are sitting in. Y'all know that story. They did it again. They left that which was built by faith and in obedience, moved here, and by faith built our current building for worship. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? That's a church, y'all. That's some folks that trust God. That's what makes me glad and proud to be here and be a part of what God's doing at Oak Grove. Because of the way people talk about how things went. And when I find out stuff like that, it's 117 years of faithful obedience to God. And here we still are. Here we still are. And let me tell you something. This whole message is to remind y'all and encourage y'all. Not that I think you believe this, but it's just out there. It ain't over yet. We ain't done yet. We did a lot of work over those 117 years for the Lord. A lot of faithful obedience. But there's no excuse for us to sit back and say, yeah, we did a good job, and then we don't do nothing else. Right? Let's praise God for the things that happened. Let's praise God for His faithfulness. Praise God for the ones before us. And let's get our house in order so that we can hand it off to the next generation. And they can continue on until Jesus comes back. That's the whole goal, y'all. All right. I'm going to read through Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses to start us off. Y'all ready? Here we go. Now it happened, chapter 5 of Gospel of Luke. Now it happened that while the crowd was passing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the water. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. In verse 4 he says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they had enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For amazement had seized him, and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything. Look, they left everything and followed him. Isn't that an amazing story, y'all? An amazing encounter with the Lord Jesus. These men who were just fishermen, listening to this Jesus teaching them a few things, and then suddenly this miraculous event happened. And I want to talk about this a little bit, and we're going to kind of bookend this with another account in the Gospel of John, okay, and later on in Jesus' ministry. But the first thing I want to look at is the first part of verse 5. All right, as we make our first point. Peter said, after Jesus says, "Let's go out into the deep water and you drop your nets out there, we'll catch some fish." And just about any man I know that likes to fish, if you say you want to go fishing, he'll be like, "Yeah, let's go. When are we going?" All right, but here's what Peter's answer was. He said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing." Now, these are experienced fishermen. It's what they do for a living. And if they couldn't catch fish, then there ain't no fish to catch, generally. They know what they're doing, in other words. He said, "We worked hard all night and caught nothing." Sounds almost like a complaint. Almost. Like you want us to go? You think you're going to tell us where the fish are? Because we do this for a living. I don't think that's an attitude that he had. He's just saying, "Look, we worked hard all night." And Jesus let him say that because it proves what Jesus is about to do is going to be a miracle. But here's what he said, "But I will do as you say and let down the nets." How many of y'all have ever had the Lord lead you or guide you into something, put something on your heart that just didn't make sense to you? It just couldn't figure. It's like, "What? You want me to do what?" And then hopefully we immediately get to the point where we're like, "Okay, but I don't understand this, but let's do it," right? That's faith right there. You don't have to know or understand completely. You don't even have to accept the reasons if they were ever explained to you. You just have to be willing to go when Jesus says go. Just do when Jesus says do. So Peter's not, he's not a novice. He's a good fisherman. He makes a living by it. And the Lord didn't ignore the fact that he had already done some work. He knew that ahead of time. Jesus knew they had been fishing all night. He knew that. That's why he could have just said, "Let's go out there and get me out there where I can teach these people some stuff and then bring me back." But now he's like, let me show you how to catch some fish here. Let me show you really how to catch fish. And what he's really doing is showing these guys that he is Lord over the fish, over all the creation. Because it's not like he had to find the right fishing hole. He just got out there and told the fish to come up here and get in the net is what happened. Because he's the Lord. Ain't that great? So the Lord sees the years of work that you've already put in, the years of faithfulness that you've showed him. He sees all the ministry that he's been able to use you for in your life, in the life of Oak Grove. The 117 years of faithfulness that all the believers have come and gone, and the ministry that's happened because of Oak Grove's witness in these mountains, God has already seen all of that. That's why he's going to continue to use you to fish for men, right? Because he knows that we are trustworthy. He knows that we are people of faith and we're willing to go and put our nets down wherever he says to put them down. Isn't that great? Be encouraged about that. I get excited about that. I'm telling y'all, the Lord has, since I went up to Hillsboro a couple weeks ago and come back and then to Indiana and back and some other things in between, the Lord has really been waking me up a little bit about some things. Not that I'm slacking or falling asleep. It's just he's getting my attention. And he's saying, "Look, it's time to go. It's time to do. It's time to get it done. Now is the time." So he's saying, "Cast your nets out." That's what he's saying to this preacher. And I'm saying, if he's saying it to this preacher, he's saying it to the church. Because we're in this together. We're family here. We're doing the same mission here. You know, that the church down the road didn't just show up. Right? There's a group of people that hung out together talking about Jesus all the time. And they decided, you know what we need? We need us a church building. So God put that on somebody's heart. So they got to talking about it, and the rest of them were like, oh, yeah, maybe the Lord was the one. Let's build this church. What are we going to build it out of? And they just started gathering what God had already supplied. They started putting together what God already made. Neighbors were giving trees, and other mules were coming around, and whatever they did to build that church, it happened. Because they all wanted to worship God together. They all wanted to worship God and serve God and learn together. And since then, God provided for them. So much so that they outgrew the building. And then God put it on their heart that we need to move somewhere else. We need to find a bigger piece of property so we can get a bigger building, so we can have more room and we can have more ministry and we can do more worshiping. And I was told several times since I've been here by some of y'all that it was your leadership at the time said, we need to, if we're going to move, we need to move closer to the community for the reasons that we can do ministry. We can reach the community better. Well, guess what happened? You move closer to the community, namely right here, and the community swallowed you up. Is God not providing? Hello? Peter said, we worked all night, but I'll do what you say. Wasn't that his next statement? I'll do whatever you say. And how many of y'all think that maybe Peter threw them nets over the side of that boat in that moment, thinking, he told me to do it, I don't want to be disobedient, I'll just do it. Not expecting what happened. Maybe he thought, we might catch a few fish or not. When Jesus does a thing, y'all, you can't outdo it. It's always more than you expect. So let's be careful that we don't despise how far the Lord has already brought Oak Grove. Not that we're doing that, but let's just be careful that we don't fall into that trap and not hide in the history and saying Oak Grove's done a great thing, because we have. Because it can be a deceiving excuse not to do more. Does that make sense? And we can turn it into this unknowingly making an excuse why we're not going to do, which I believe we're going to. I believe we're going to do. I believe we've been doing. I believe we're going to continue to do. But I also believe the Lord set us up to do some crazy things in the near future, reaching out to this community. It's not whether the church has served, because we know it has. The question is whether we're going to continue to serve. The question is whether we're going to continue to obey the leading of our Lord, right? And faith, walking in faith, it doesn't erase what has happened or what we have built or what we are doing or what we did do. It doesn't erase all the God moments and the things that bring glory to God. It doesn't erase all that stuff. It just means it's another step of faith. And anytime you take a step, you're moving away from where you were. Right? That's part, one of the many reasons I love our church. Because it's proven over and over again we're willing to follow the Lord. We're willing to do what he wants us to do. We're willing to accept the direction he's leading us to go. Always been full of faithful believers willing to take steps. It was a step of faith for y'all to come over here from where you were. It's a step of faith to build a building and I believe take out a loan for it. And then watch how the Lord help you figure out how to pay it off almost right away. You know, God says, I pay for it. If you just go do what I say, I'll pay for it. I'll take care of it. I'll do it. Don't worry about the supply. Don't worry about anything other than being obedient to me. And we can say we're people of faith, but if we're not obedient, that's not faith. If you believe God, then do what God says. That's the key. So let's look at the second point I'm going to make. In verses 4-7, he says, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into the deep water and let down your catch. All right, that's what basically what he's talking about. Verse 6, it says, when they'd done this, because they were obedient, it says they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. Now I think Peter's attention has been got, right? Peter's like, whoa, I didn't expect this. Look what he does. He signaled, verse 7, he signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And then it says they came and filled both of the boats, and the boats began to sink, y'all. Now, I ain't never been on a fishing trip where my boat started to sink because we had too many fish. Now, I had a sinking boat for other reasons, but not because we had a sinking fish. A boat full of fish. This is amazing, y'all. God could have made his point without sinking the boats. But he did. He was just like, I'm going to get their attention. Why? Because he's getting ready to ask them to walk away from all of that and go follow him and do some great things for the world, change the world. That's why. He needed to get their attention in this way. And I think God's constantly trying to get our attention. He got my attention when he miraculously resurrected my ribs on Wednesday. I'm not kidding about that, y'all. Them ribs should have been in the trash. But he used Johnny Bennett to make it right. I'm not even kidding about that either. Matthew chapter 9, write that down, verse 37 to 38. That's where we read about the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. How many of y'all are fully aware of that in our current situation here at Oak Grove, right? It's kind of been the thing on the front of our minds. Like, look, we're trying to do what God wants us to do, but it'd be nice to have a few more folks around, right? And God's over here saying, yeah, it would be nice to have a few more folks around, but I'm not interested in a few more folks. You understand? God's saying to Oak Grove, put the nets out where I tell you to put them out and watch what happens. He didn't catch a few fish. They didn't catch a few fish. They caught a bunch of fish to the point where their nets were breaking. They couldn't handle it and the boats couldn't handle it. That's how God does things, y'all. That's what the Lord does. John 16, verse 13, he says, we can read where he says, he will guide you in all the truth. For following the Lord, if the Spirit of God is leading us, which he is, and we know he is, we trust him. He always has for the last 117 years at this church. He never leads us in the wrong direction. He never tells us to throw our nets in the wrong place. Do we trust his guidance? Do we trust God and his word? I think we should. I'm going to push the amen button, y'all. If I don't get some amens out of this, don't make me push the amen button. I'm excited, y'all. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing and has been doing for a while now. It's about to break open. Things are about to, we're about to pull these nets in. He didn't ask Peter for a new strategy. He didn't ask Peter, what do you think we should do? Where should we put the net? He didn't say that to Peter. He's like, hey, row the boat out there and throw the nets on this side. He gave him a clear instruction what to do. It wasn't confusing. It wasn't hard to understand. They didn't have to have a big meeting. They just obeyed. Why? Why did they obey? Because he believed Jesus. In faith, he threw his net over the boat in the deep water. So when he obeyed, that's when the harvest came. The unbelievable, amazing, overwhelming, can't handle it harvest. And that's what I believe the Lord is wanting to do here in this congregation. The text that in Matthew chapter 9 says the fields are already white. That means they're ready to get. And they need to be. Anybody that's done any farming knows that if you miss that window of harvest, you're going to lose your crop. It don't just stay healthy until you want it. You get it when it's ready. And if you look around, you guys already know, I don't have to tell you, you look around at our community and there's a harvest and it's ready. They're looking for truth and they want to know what it is. And the Spirit has promised us that he will lead us in where to throw our nets. We've been praying for the Lord to lead us and guide us and show us the way. We've been praying for the Lord to increase in our number and increase in our health, and our spiritual health, increase in our faith. I think the Lord's provided. I think those prayers have been answered. We've been able to go through the ministry that we had going on for hurricane relief, which was totally amazing. As stressful as it was totally amazing, right? To be involved in that and do the things that God was doing and be a part of it. And I think it did more good for us as a church than it did any good for anybody we were helping, if you think about it. We got to see God in a special way all throughout that, if you were paying attention. And in the middle of that, not only did we come out with a new fire burning in our heart for the Lord and for the church and for the mission, but we also met some brothers and sisters all around the country who came and helped us do that. God's provision. And if you didn't know this, I'm just going to tell you, there's another church out Myrtle Beach way, and then there's another ministry. Both of them are committed to coming alongside of us because they want to see our church grow and succeed in making disciples. And they're doing that in some crazy, they're going to be here in a couple weeks. They're going to pressure wash every building we have, and they're going to paint them all except for the house. And it's not going to cost us nothing because they're going to pay for all that. They're going to keep coming back. They told us we're committed to helping you succeed, whatever you need. Not just building, painting, and physical labor, even though that's part of it. They're also going to come and help me and Kevin and Jay figure out what we need for new sound equipment back there, which we had already had in our plan to buy. Guess who's not paying for that at this point? Y'all know the Lord has blessed us financially recently. God is providing. We don't have a need financially. I know sometimes you look at the paperwork and it can look bad, but if you look at what God's doing, it's amazing. We are provided for. We have no excuse. And every time we sit around and talk and have a meeting, me and the leadership or me and anybody else, and we start talking about the transformation plan that I put on to you guys at the meeting at the beginning of the year, and all the things we got the roof replaced, we got to finish that little job, we got people giving us estimates for a new carpet in here because, praise the Lord, it got wore out from all the people staying here, right, doing ministry, and we're trying to get the baptistry situated, get it cleaned up and get it back in shape. We're just trying to get the house in order. We're talking about putting a new playground in. We're talking about getting the parking lot covered up. All these projects we're talking about. And so far at this point in time, every time we talk about it, we start getting estimates or we start talking about what it's going to cost. Somebody comes along and says, hey, you send us the bill for that. I don't know if it's going to continue that way, but that's what's happening. And I sit down in my office and at my house, and I say, Lord, why did you bless us with this other money if you don't want me to use it? And every time it's immediate, I already know the answer. It's because when we did get those blessings, the leadership and I and the rest of us, different times, we sat down, and the first thing everybody said is, whatever we do, we have to do ministry. We have to reach out to this community, all right? So if we're going to say that and we're going to be committed to that, the Lord's going to say, okay, well, I'll take care of everything else while you do that. Hello? We don't have no excuses, y'all. Throw the nets out. Just throw the nets out. It's the next move. God's already done what he's going to do. Peter's over here. He's got his own two hands on this net, and they're breaking. And he's trying to signal to the other guys. He's like, "Hey, bring another boat over here." Here's what I know. I don't even remember signaling for him, but other boats are coming. These other ministries are looking. The brothers and sisters in Christ are there. They're just like, "Hey, we see y'all. We want to help y'all. We want to support y'all." And when I think about that, y'all, I was laying in the bed at her mama's house the day before we were going to cook some ribs, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about Moses. And God says, as long as your hands are in the air, you'll have victory in this battle. And he got tired. His arms started going down. Well, guess what? God sent some guys to come over and lift them arms up, y'all. That's what's happening here. That's what's going on in Oak Grove, because God's doing an amazing thing. God's doing a great thing right now, and it's getting ready to go. It's getting ready to be something amazing, more than we've ever dreamed. And sometimes us preachers, we get up here and we know that, and we believe that, and it's challenging. It's like it's a battle between us and Satan to come up here and proclaim it out loud. Because what if we're wrong? You know, that's what crosses our mind. And we have to dismiss that. It's like, well, how can we be? Jesus said to throw the nets out there. How can that be wrong? How can it be wrong? So we're going to stop asking God to do again what he's already done. We don't need to ask him for provision anymore. We don't even have to ask him for direction anymore. We don't even have to ask him for help anymore. It's all here. That's our situation. Isn't it great? Isn't it amazing? Sometimes unbelief or doubt sounds like caution. Not every time, but sometimes. And I've been guilty of that over my lifetime, trying to be cautious and responsible, trying to be a good steward. And it really is a unintentional cover-up for my lack of faith. Right? Well, I want to be sure this is what we need to do. I want to be sure this is the right thing to do. And Jesus sitting in the boat all the time, like, whenever you throw them nets out there, you'll find out. Right? So that's where we are. We got to start being bold in our faith, because further delay would not be prudent. It would really be unbelief dressed up like caution. Check this out. This is my last point. Obviously, faith is our next step. I want you to look at the rest of those verses, from verses 5 all the way through 11. And look at their reaction. When they caught all these fish and the boat started sinking, Peter fell down on his face before the Lord because he was convicted in the presence of his holiness. He recognized, he's like, man, this is more than just a man right here. And I'm just going to warn you and advise you and encourage you that as God does what he plans to do here at the church because of our faithful obedience, there's going to be moments where each one of us are going to fall on our face before the Lord because of the amazing situations that are going on. And I look forward to those days. Verse 9 says, amazement had seized him. You ever been seized by amazement? I don't like to be seized. I'm just going to let you know that. But if the Lord wants to seize me, then I welcome it. And then James and John were also there. And it says when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything in following him. They left everything. For commercial fishermen to have that many fish and just dock the boats and walk away and don't even do nothing with it. Just walked away. That's what it's like. When the more we encounter God's amazing works, the more we're part of what he's doing, the more we get seized by that amazement, and the less we want of anything else in this world, the less important everything else is. Peter's faith was not a feeling, y'all. When Peter said, I will do as you say, that's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. He's stating a fact based on what he believes about Jesus. It's faith in action. You know what James says about that? Dead faith is where there's no works, there's no action, there's nothing behind it. You can say you believe all you want to. You can say you trust God all you want to. Until we do, unless we don't do, then it's nothing. Now, we get to the bookends. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's calling the disciples to follow him in this way, in this amazing way, standing in the boat. He said, cast your nets over the side and you'll catch a bunch of fish. Let's go to John. John chapter 21. Here we are. Jesus has already been crucified. He's already been resurrected from the dead. Now he's walking around talking to folks in the flesh. Because he's Lord. And this is one of those encounters. This is one of my favorite encounters between Jesus and Peter. For a lot of reasons. In verse 6 specifically, but Peter and the rest of the guys, they're so discouraged because they thought Jesus was going to be the king of the Jews. He was going to be their king, and he was going to free them from Rome and everybody else in the world, and they were going to be a great nation on the planet. That's what they believed. That's what they all thought. And they spent 3 years. They walked away from all that fishing and walked with Jesus for all that time. For what? Just so he could be killed? You want to talk about a letdown? You want to talk about disappointment? You want to talk about misunderstanding what's going on to the point where you're just totally distraught and discouraged? He's like, well, I just guess I'll just go what I know how to do, go back to fishing. And that's what they were doing. And the problem is they were out there fishing and they weren't catching anything. Why? Because their minds and their hearts were torn up and broken. They couldn't even focus on how to catch fish. And it really wasn't what they were supposed to be doing anyway. Verse 4 of chapter 21 in the Gospel of John says, But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And here's what Jesus said in verse 5. Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? Really? How many of y'all that fish enjoy somebody else rolling up on you and be like, you don't have no fish, do you? You mind your own business. Walk on. There's nothing for you to see here. I know I don't have any fish. You don't have to tell me. I know I don't have any fish. But that's not how it went, but that's just what it reminded me of. But he's like, look, he's like, you don't have any fish. He's just stating a fact. And they answered him, no. In one sentence, no. That's not, that wouldn't have been my answer, but that's what they said. And here it is in verse 6. And he said, here's what Jesus said to them. Listen, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat and you will find a catch. Look at that, y'all. Beginning of his ministry, he tells them, where to cast a net. End of his ministry, he tells them where to cast a net. So they cast. They did it. They just obeyed him. And they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Let me tell y'all something. If Jesus tells you where to cast a net, then just do it. Just do it. And expect a great catch. I was in Hillsboro, when we went to Hillsboro, a preacher by the name of Jim Book, retired from a church in Florida not too long ago, and he runs around the country preaching and teaching and helping churches. You'll probably meet him at some point. He was preaching on this text right here. And I was sitting there listening to that sermon, and it was like the Lord had cut my heart wide open and then got a magnifying glass into that deep cut that he made and got to the deepest, darkest part of my heart and put that truth right there and said, deal with that. Because his sermon was all about how they were out there fishing all night in the Gospel of John. And they were doing what they knew how to do, but it wasn't working. So Jesus simply came in and said, do something different. He said, throw it on the other side of the boat. If it's not working, do something different. That was Jim's whole point of his message. Of course, Jim's a little bit more louder than me, and he's high octane, I'll tell you that. He's a great preacher. But he was all over the stage. He's over here, he's like, throw it on the other side of the net. Get it over here and do something different. He was all back and forth, and it was amazing. Oak Grove, over the last 117 years, I believe has been experienced in throwing the net on the other side of the boat when it's necessary. We're experienced in doing whatever is needed, even if it's different than what we've been doing. Right? So all this stuff that we're planning to do is part of it is stewardship for the building, roofing, the roof, the carpet, any kind of paint and cleaning, anything that needs to be done around here, it's all stewardship, right? But it's also those things, the new playground, whatever it is we have in our mind to do, or whatever we think would be best for to do, those are the nets, y'all. Those are what God is going to use to build a ministry here for the future. Continue to add on to what he's already done, you see? And there's going to be times when we're just going to go a little bit deeper, throw the net in the same place off the boat. And there's going to be other times when we throw the net on the other side of the boat. Sometimes walking in the same direction when it's working takes faith. And sometimes changing direction or doing different things takes faith. Right? Because you and I both know that we're all creatures of habit and we all like to do, we like things in our home to be the same because that's the way we like it. My wife's grandmother, bless her heart, she would walk the neighborhood. We lived in the same neighborhood for a short while. And I would come home from work every day, and she would have gone into our house and moved all our furniture around where she thought it would be. Like bedroom, living room, everything. She was 80-something at the time. I mean, every day I would come home and my furniture's moving. I'm like, I go over to my wife because I can't get... It's her grandmother, and she's old, and I just can't react the way I wanted to. So I just look, I nicely say to my wife, like, you have to go talk to your grandmother. This cannot keep happening. This is my house, and these are my furniture, and it's where I want it. I love your grandmother. I respect her, but you got to go talk to her. Because it was disturbing me. and she wasn't doing it to be helpful. She was doing it because she thought that's where the furniture was supposed to be. That's the best place to put it. So the point is, sometimes walking in faith, as we already know, means change. It means doing something different. It means taking a different approach. Casting our net. Everything we do and everything we have is just a net. It's just a tool to go catch men and women for Christ. That's it. That's what it is. Where are we going to cast this net? Where are we going to cast that net? Right? God has already given us direction. He's already given us provision, and he's already brought other boats in to support. We're in great shape, y'all. We're in great shape. And it's kind of scary, to be honest with you. Right? Because there's the only way we can fail is in our hands. If we don't do, right? Or if we don't seek the Lord, if we just get lazy, which I don't think anybody here wants to, but if we just don't do what Jesus says or what the Bible teaches us or what the Spirit of God leads us to do, then we will disrupt what God's doing. Right? Okay. So here we are. I'm going to wrap this up, believe it or not. We need the same courage and faith that built the light on the hill, which became Oak Grove, the light on the hill. That's what we need. We need the same faith and courage that built the light on the hill back in 1920. So the first thing is, if you're not already encouraged and excited about what the Lord's doing at Oak Grove and what we're about to do with his ministry in this community, I would encourage you to pray about it until you get excited. And if need be, we'll get together and I'll talk to you about it until you get excited. The next thing is we need to daily be ready to obey. Make decisions and do it. And I mean, what I mean by that is we need to make decisions. We need to get information. And if we need to pray about it, let's pray about it for however long it takes, hopefully just a few days, and then decide and then go do. And if we can't go do, we go find somebody that can help us go do physically. That's what we do. That's how it is. Because we cannot have 6 or 8 month meetings about every little thing that we're doing. We'll miss the boat. We'll miss what's going on. Peter said, but I'll do as you say. The nets are in our hands. The boats are riding up beside us. The Lord says, put out into the deep. Go out into the world and make disciples. The only answer that we have to give is, Lord, I'll do what you say. So commit with me, church, as a family. Commit with me today as a church family. We're going to say, Lord, we will do as you say. We're going to go where you go. We're going to cast our nets where you want them to be cast. And whatever nets he give us to cast, we're going to cast them, right? And if there's something that we don't need or don't have that we would need, I have 100% confident the Lord will have it here by the time we get there. By the time we cross that bridge, we'll be able to get there. I have no doubt in my mind. No doubt. And let me tell y'all something. Here's how I know. Because ever since the Lord put all this on me and kind of getting me to put it in another gear and get moving, I'm just telling you, I'm talking about me personally, all right? It's time for me to get moving at a different pace for the Lord as a man and as your preacher. And once I committed to the Lord, I said, Lord, you're right, I'm going to do this. And then I started thinking about this message right here, and it started working on me. And since I've been home from Indiana, I've had three different households say to me, we've been thinking about coming to your church. I don't know if they're going to come or not. They keep saying it. So once somebody says that to me, I'm just like a hound dog. My tail's straight out, and I'm on them. First thing I do is like, do you like ribs or cheeseburgers or do you like pork chops? Because I'm going to have them at my house, and I'm going to fill up the house with the aroma of good food so that we can talk and learn about each other. Because that helps them come and be with us once we learn. And I'm pretty confident that all of y'all have people around you that are just right there, and you just may or may not recognize it. They're just right there. And all they need is a little bit of love and fellowship, and it'll get them closer to there. All they need is for God to cast a net, and then they're caught. Isn't that great? All right, I love you, and the Lord loves you. I hope you're excited by what we're talking about this morning. I hope you're excited about the Savior that we serve and how he does things, because it's getting ready to break loose out here. And we're going to praise the Lord when it does.